You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
You're listening to It's Tricky with Raquel Harper.
So what's tricky? What does that mean? Oh, let the camera roll.
I have, honestly, one of the realest in the game next to me right now, okay? One of the nicest people that you can ever meet in wicked-ass world.
Man, talk about it, man. But nah, I share those sentiments. I mean, you've always been just so solid and just real and authentic, especially being in this space. It's probably really difficult to find someone genuine who deals in the world of where...
Nick Cannon, you are that person.
You are the person as well, Rock.
Like, for reals. I was so excited. He listened to Raw and B, his album, mixtape, just released.
Yeah.
Bomb Friday.
Appreciate.
When I say that his shit is fire, like, no joke, though, his shit is fire. Every single song, I went to the listening party, the listening
session. She came to the studio.
Yeah. Pulled up right quick, okay? And I'm like, damn, right? I'm sitting there, like, getting the vibe. I'm like, oh, shit, he got some bangers. You know what
I'm
saying?
She's like, I ain't got to pretend to like this.
Yeah. You know, like, sometimes people invite you to some shit, right? And the music, and they be like, come to this session, Rock. And you be like, I be sitting there chilling. I be like, okay, well, goddamn, where's the good song at?
How do I got to figure out my exit?
Yeah, like, and then you be sitting there, want to leave real quick. And then you be like, they be like, well, can I come on and talk to you about the shit? Like, hell no. Like,
well, that's love. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you were for reals though. I mean, album cover with you and Jessica White.
Yes.
So
that broke the internet first before we even dropped any music.
Okay, but Jessica, like, you need to, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's up? Because she's a ride or die for real, huh?
She rides or die for real in a real way. But you know what that is? That's years of friendship. And, you know, obviously when you get involved with someone on an intimate level or even beyond that, even on a spiritual level, things, they go up and down. I mean, everything has cycles. But one thing that we've always maintained is a friendship and respect for each other, and to be able, I've always respected her eye, her ability, just even as, I mean, she's a supermodel, so even on both sides of the camera, she really knows about composition and how to make things iconic.
Composition. She knows about position too. Right?
That's what I'm
composition,
saying.
Position.
So I put it all in her hands.
Demo. Okay.
I put it all in her, and she actually has it's something that's about to drop. She directed a short film for the mixtape as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
she knew about the positions because you guys were hitting him in that damn little clip. good grief.
It's
like,
a lot of positions going on.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a fun time.
It's acting though. It's a lot of acting.
Bullshit. That was some real. You guys played that out too good. I mean, I know you're an actor also. Like, you know what I'm saying? Nick, let's go for the bet. Nick's businessman, musician, actor, TV host, radio host. I mean, the guy has 1,000 jobs, literally.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, we
and killing it, all of them.
We trying, it's like I always say, you got to keep cooking while the pot is hot, and they give me an opportunity to be up in here. So I say it's a blessing each and every day.
Yeah.
Just to work, because sometimes they want to take the work away from you. So the fact that I could keep pushing it and, be uncancelled or uncancelable.
Well,
let's say
they're not gonna if anybody cancels Nick, then you know what I'm saying, I'm doomed. I might as well just say it and bug it. Like, it's looking real bad. But for you and Jessica though, your relationship, okay, so you said that in the article I was reading over the weekend that you went to consultation.
For the vasectomy thing.
Yeah, vasectomy. So is she the one? Is she, cause and then the song, you know what I'm saying? She basically says, she's, with the song, she's the one, to pretty much figure out how to stop you.
Oh, yeah, in the short film. You know what I mean? This is the thing when it comes to that, because obviously when I talk about vasectomies, I talk about that on the Wildin' Out tour, and we be joking and stuff. So sometimes I'll be joking, but I did actually go for the consultation. And I think, to me, it is definitely an option. You know what I mean?
But are you gonna get your dick clipped is a question.
See, when you say it like that, that makes me say no. Like, I need to be talked into this. I need to be convinced. Because, I mean, there is some things just as a man, you kind of like, all right, well, okay, I understand the responsibility and I gotta, you know, step up. And
but you do, wait, okay, for the record though, right? Yeah. I just wanna make this out there for the world to see, right? I was in at Chuck E. Cheese before, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
With my kids, and I walked up, I'm like, okay, bam. Nick was just at Chuck E. Cheese with his kids doing his thing.
Show
no
it.
Security, no nothing. You know what I'm saying? So when you talk, take away as far as a daddy role, let's make sure everybody knows that you are a good daddy.
Well, that's the thing. I love my kids. I mean, and I've been blessed enough to be in a position to where I probably get to spend more time with my children than the average person because of the way my life is set up. And then the fact that I'm just a big kid at heart. So I love Chuck E. Cheese. I love Six Flags. I love like all that. Like I'm with my kids probably more than anything. I mean, I was at Legoland last week, Sesame Street the week before that. Like I'm literally, I can bring my kids to work. I'm probably, you know, I'm like you said, I'm at the park every other day just doing stuff. So, but you know, people gonna say what they gonna say and however they say, because I understand that it's not a conventional setup and it's pretty unorthodox based off of like, wait, how does one person have so much time and energy? But
I think they, I think they get it just because of multiple baby mama tip. You know what I'm saying? I think it's more so they be like, okay, Nick, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, boom.
I thought I was fertile.
I was thinking, well, damn, I can't say nothing. I'm mini Nick. You know, like, I got four kids my damn self. But
there
I'm like,
it is. There it is. So you know but, how it go.
Yeah, so I get it. You know, it's like, baby daddy, just juggle them around. Hey, everybody saying, but like, what you do? But
and mama role is way tougher than daddy's role. So my hat's off to you.
But for you, though, just in general, right, for your baby mamas, right, do you ever think, because you're getting time, right, before I talked to you about marriage, and then when I was in the studio, and then you said in the studio, like, you know, marriage is a possibility.
I said that on a song with Chris Brown.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is the thing. It depends what you call marriage. Getting the government involved in my relationship, like that whole paperwork stuff, nah. But if it's something on a spiritual or a holistic ritual that, you know, that I'm all for, we can go have a ceremony somewhere. But
when they get to the government and they be like, Nick, I want you to sign, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but why would government be involved in your love life? Like,
because
that just seems so bizarre.
Because they want half of the cannabis.
That's what I'm saying. Like, because if you go to the core of what it was all about, it's really a business. And to bring business and love together, I've experienced it. That's a tough one to get involved with, because you're like,
you did it with Mariah, so
that's
then
what I'm saying.
The other baby mamas think they up next, because they be like, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, once you know, that to me was one of the greatest experiences of my life. And for that to have come to an end as well, is like, why would I go back if I couldn't make that work out right?
Well, so real quick, you know, honestly though, right? And I was thinking about this, right? Do you more so have, like, because Mariah, you didn't play around like that. Like, you weren't ever cheating.
Nah.
You weren't like Mr. in your song, Rick Ross pimp.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I let all of that go. I hung all them jackets up.
Yeah. So now is it like nobody can make you hang up that type of jacket?
No, you know what it is? I think once I gave my all to a scenario, going forward, I'd have to be presented with something that I've never seen before, never experienced, and in order for me to be willing to go back to do something like that, because it's almost like, yo, I did my best in this space, and now I feel like there's a new journey in my life. There's different experiences that I have to see, but I'm not gonna backtrack and put myself in that position again, because it doesn't get any better than that. And I blame.
Oh, see?
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, for everybody, Nick,
I'm gonna be honest.
Hey, I'm gonna be honest with you. The baby mama's about to be hot right now.
Nah, because it's not about them. You know what I mean? And we have real honest conversations. And then, like I said, I love my family. I love all of my children and every woman that's given me the blessing of being able to experience that. But marriage and all that goes into that, it's a lot. I mean, everybody who's married knows what that is. You're literally entering a partnership. That says where two become one. And
you've had that experience.
And that's what I'm saying. And I know, like, I'm not built for that. I've tried it, you know, and even without infidelity or any of those things, it's like to be like, I gotta admit, like, I have issues with being selfish. I have issues with insecurity. I have issues with where most people can't admit, but I know, like, you know, I've struggled with my ego and all that stuff. So to be able to open up after marriage and say, all right, now I got to work on myself. Now I got to work on being the best me, and still hitting hurdles, still coming up with challenges daily. I was like, man, I don't even want to put, you know, the toxic energy that I'm working through onto someone else and have, like, you never want to be responsible for someone else's happiness. So when I'm dealing with someone from this point on, I'm saying, look, how do we work on you being the best individual you can be and me being the best individual I can be, and we coexist in this space? Mm-hmm. So if there's anything you need from me, if there's anything I can provide, I got you. But if you just want some paperwork.
No. Don't
talk
do
to
that.
Me. Come
it's
on,
not,
Rod.
Marriage is not just based on paperwork.
But yes. I can provide everything else besides the paperwork.
It's as far as the paperwork and the union, they want to be Miss Cannon.
Well, see,
that's a situation. And they want to.
Somebody
on
gave
their
me that
no,
name.
No, no, no.
That ain't.
Yeah, no. But they want it on their government name to change their last name to.
They could do that if they want to.
To whatever, you know, that is, what they, the, whatever
you
the situation.
You could change your name to Miss Cannon if you wanted to.
No,
I ain't going to stop you.
No. But they want to earn the situation. But listen, I know people definitely, if they see you and they see. And look at all these women are obviously choosing up, okay? Every single one of them. No, seriously. They having
to
that baby quick.
No, I'm saying,
shoot,
I'm saying,
it don't matter how many kids you have, everybody's still choosing
right
up.
I'm talking about under the guise of, like, I feel like I'm choosing up. I mean, to be, it's.
Both is choices, because you're doing your 1-2 thing, you know
but
what I'm saying?
The fact
and
that,
they're in receiving.
Absolutely. But I'm saying, like, I feel like I'm the one that's saying, oh wow, this woman is allowing me to be in her world and allowing me to call her family. Just because we're not married, or just because even the traditional sense of monogamy I don't subscribe to. So it's like,
but they probably, obviously people feel some type of way, Nick. Of course they do.
Like, I think people who don't understand it.
No. It's not understanding. Your baby mamas themselves. Okay,
the,
when it comes time
the
to Christmas,
that's in the game
in
with
the,
me.
Yes, we'll go to the ones that are in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, how many kids you have now?
Ah, man, where are we starting at?
what are we up to, 10 now?
I'll take that.
Okay, we'll be around 10, okay? So for the 10 piece, right, I know exactly one of the 10 is they want to be the one for you. And that's just how it is. There's no, and if they may lie to you and trick you and act like they're okay with being a number 10 baby mama, but it don't work like that.
Is that how it is with women?
Man, hell, you know, good and damn well the baby mamas is on it.
Really?
Once they decide they chose up right and they popping that baby out, oh, they want you to be the one.
Wow. Well, if I tell them, you know, come and mess with me is a team sport.
Okay.
If you want to go one-on-one, it's tennis courts on every corner.
Yeah. And
that's
where
you can find your
love. And everybody pretends that they say okay with that, right? But that's why you have so many maternity pictures, because they want to make sure that they present it in the maternity pictures that they do. You know what I'm saying? And we're doing that to the show.
But if I can offer that, I can. I definitely, like, to me, it's about giving individual time and offer and being honest from the beginning. This is what I have to offer. This is what I don't have to offer.
Yeah.
And some things,
but
that
everybody goes in with a game plan with some people. You know how, you know, when you go meet a girl, right?
Yeah.
You be like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, listen, you have on your song, pimp player, you know what I'm saying?
I talk about it on the
mixtape.
But I let them know from the gate, and it's not out of any disrespect. To me, it's more respect, because I'm like, I'm gonna come to you as honest as I possibly can.
Oh, what are you
and
doing?
And this is who I am. This is what I struggle with. This is where I feel like I excel. And if we could coexist, you're responsible for your happiness. If I can add to it, I'm here. If I don't add to it, then we shouldn't be here. And I've been in many situations where I thought I had the one or the best of the best. I mean, people have seen my relationships and they be like, yeah, I'm not rocking with that. And they leave, and I wish them the best and salute to them in their new situation.
That's why you have to listen to the mixtape Pimp, you know what I'm saying? Because he keeps it, he keeps raw and B. Okay, let's go again.
You gotta be raw and authentic. You gotta be real. And it's not, to me, it's never from a space of disrespect, especially during these times. I think I admire and honor and love women so much that I know that I'm not, it's not, you know, going up or anything. Like, I'm the one that's at the bottom of the pyramid, and I'm really looking at these goddesses, these women, and saying, however I can be involved in your life, let me be a part of that. And then where you don't want me, I'm out.
Do you sign a contract first before you child support?
There's no paperwork. I don't believe in paperwork.
Wow.
That's
the thing with you, though. I was thinking about it. I'm like, well, damn, nobody, I don't see no child support baby mamas up on the Instagram going crazy. I like, Nick, don't pay me no money.
This is my thing. This is how I live my life. And, you know, to everybody else, to each his own. But I feel like everything that I do, every dollar that I make is for my children. Like, I've done all of it. Like, I don't wear a lot of jewelry. I've done the car houses. Like, so from this point on.
I mean, he still got the Rolls poster, though. You know what I'm saying?
My kids got to ride to school and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's my mentality of every time. Like, I want my kids to have everything. So you shouldn't get a percentage. Now, obviously, because I have a lot of children, we're going to have to figure out, we got to be wise and be wise stewards of money.
But that's what
but
I said. If
every job I have, I would give every dollar to my children. And the fact that I've been blessed enough to make a lot of money, they gonna get everything I make from this point on.
Hey, get the vasectomy quick. You know what I'm saying? Because the baby mama's hearing this.
I'm not trying to save no money for me. You know how Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, they trying to give their billions to the world. I'm trying to get mine to my family.
Oh, that's, Nick, that's exactly.
I'll make that vow. Listen. Every child I have, hopefully, as much money as I make, it all goes to them.
They go to Google right there. They be like, you know what I'm saying, Nick is worth this much. He said he gonna give all of that. If I get a quarter, I'm cracking.
I can't take it with me.
If I get 10%, and the baby mama, she's like, oh, she owns.
You ain't never seen a Brinks truck following a hearse. All of this stuff is going to my kids, and hopefully they kids, and that's generational wealth.
I mean, well, generational wealth is important, and you definitely can provide that. So there you go.
When I go to work, we on tour right now, selling out. And all, I'm thinking like, man,
city near you,
we lit. But it's like all of that is going to my children. I'm building a legacy so that they can be good and comfortable.
I mean, but that is a beautiful thing. But I know at the same time, though, that somebody's going to sit there and get in your head, and then everybody will be like, damn, Nick, I'm the one. But you talk about a Chris Brown song that, you know, listen, when I heard the Chris Brown song in the studio, I took notes. I said, now, ain't this a bitch? Because I interviewed him like a couple years ago, you know, a hot 2 years ago, and he said he ain't never going to do it.
R&B puts me in the mood. That's all it is. I'm a hopeless romantic.
Just R&B
song. Like, yo, it's that song is called I Do. It's the perfect wedding song.
Yeah.
And I still go to weddings, and I'm like, oh, man, this would be dope to do this again. And then, but the ceremony is amazing.
No, I want a ceremony.
Everything after the ceremony, you're like, why did I say I do? You know, but it's
well,
like,
I know, but you had Mariah Carey.
And that's it. I did. And that's to me.
Do you right now, though, does she ever come to a situation to be like ever get in your head? Because you are her husband, her only husband she's ever had, right?
No, two.
Tommy Mottello than you.
Yeah.
But you're her baby daddy, so her only real husband. No, I'm kidding.
I'll take it. You said it, not me.
So does she ever, just for her image, because of course it's such a scenario goes, does she ever holler at you when she hearing about it? Like, damn,
she,
Nick.
Does she know I'm wild? She'd be like, she just shakes her head.
She don't, that's like, it.
And because a lot of it, I think you know, we talk quite often, and I have so much respect for her and consider her still to this day one of my best friends. But when someone knows you, they're going to be like, they don't even got to talk about it. Like,
but you weren't that man with her, though. So I know she just.
So, I mean, and we talk about this. It's on the tape as well. I know I've experienced some pain and some brokenness. And some people say it's because of my wedding, I mean, my divorce and all of that type of stuff. And
have you not healed from your divorce?
I don't know. I think probably I'm still going through it. I mean, when you go through something like that, one thing I definitely feel like in my life, divorce is a sense of you failed. And when you have that level of failure, when everyone's seeing it, it was a lot on me for a long time, and I didn't really know how to process it. I had to go find myself. I had to go within, and probably some decisions after that. And even still to this day, I'm like, man, yeah, that's. When it gets dark, I feel like, dang, I wonder what would have happened if I would have did this differently or did that. So I definitely feel like I deal with it still.
I mean, is that a result of why you keep on having a number of kids?
But see, I've talked about that in therapy. I'm like, I don't think those two play together. I think I still have to work through some of the pain and of that. But when you apply kids to it, I mean, part of the pain was having to not be able to be in the same household with, you know, my two children at the time. And now I'm experiencing that, you know, I'm on multiple levels and trying to figure out how to make all of that work. So I wouldn't say the answer to, you know, healing those wounds is creating more wounds. Like, that's definitely not
but
the
you,
case.
But if you're still dealing with divorce and, you know, like that you haven't got that out of your system,
yeah.
Obviously you're trying to make different systems and you don't see anybody as a value to... Ooh. No, it's definitely as a value of what
to
you had.
To what I had, yeah.
To have what you had already. Because
I'm
what
not
you had,
looking for what I had, though. That's the thing.
No, like, you're not looking for it.
I'm not looking even to replace that void.
No, you're definitely looking to replace the void because you're making a lot of voids.
No, but in the sense, only reason why, because if that was the case, then I'd be trying to recreate what that was. That's what I'm saying. Like, I know marriage and monogamy. I know that's not for me. So even in these,
but how do you honestly know that's not for you? You've already had it and you did good. You weren't sitting here loosey goose. You know what I'm saying? You had the Mariah in your back. You're about to whoop Eminem's ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, you did a lot. You did great.
I was going hard. I think through all of that, it makes you really self-reflect and say, all right, we only got a certain amount of time on this planet. And
it's not like fuck them all.
It's definitely not that. But then you have to say, all right, to be the best me I can possibly be, what scenario is that? Where am I? How can I facilitate and get the most out of this life without having to succumb to someone else's infrastructure, someone else's narrative? And I feel like that's where I learned to be like, okay, I can be my best me operating this way and growing and learning this way, opposed to being stagnant in certain other areas. And that's even when I go into new scenarios, I share with the person, I was like, I just want you to have the best life you can possibly have. And the best life you can have isn't up under me, you know what I mean?
It is
cute for a moment, but if you're trying to get the fullest potential out of a 24-hour day,
the potential would be following Nick Cannon wherever his move is, and then being a part of the Nick Cannon life.
See,
you
have a
fun
life.
The studio is fucking has fun. There's all kind of treats there and all kind of shit. You know, what
but
man?
There's so much life has to offer. And if we step back and look at life in that sense, to where if you allow one person to have reign over you, if you allow one person
it's called love, Nick. It's called love what you experience.
So, okay.
That's what it's called.
I'm going to ask you this question,
right? That's what it is.
How many friends you got?
Quite a few.
Right? One friend and only hang out with that
friend
forever?
There's a
You'd
difference.
Be like, think about all the good times you miss with all
the
other friends.
If I tell Mel, like, I'm knocking down 20 other friends right now, he'd be like, bitch, you're hoeing.
But that's other people's opinion. You can't be moved by what other people think about you.
Nick, in real life, okay?
You know what I'm saying?
I fuck with you the long way, period.
And that's why we have these conversations.
And I'm telling you the God honest truth, right? If you can do it before, right, there's obviously has been nobody mentally to make you do that again. And that's just what it is.
Okay. I'm not going to disagree with that. And I salute that because I'm not even going to challenge that
there's one girl... You
so
know
you think
saying?
There's going to be somebody special right now that can make me go back and want to be in a monogamous
If you had
marriage
another Mariah, hell yeah. Like, I think so.
Well, first of all, there isn't.
Well, no, I know, but that's why we're here. That's why we have, you know what I'm saying? That's why we're in this situation. But I think that, honestly, though, true factor, that it's obviously right. Because I've seen it before.
Okay.
You're very happy. You had the whole thing. You know what I'm saying?
Now, too.
But it's not, you're in this, you're
I'm
not
a happy
that,
person. I've been yeah, happy all you're, my
you are,
life.
You're a happy individual, but like 30 hoes is not worth one good hoe. I know, well, 30 wonderful ladies, okay, is not worth one spectacular
if anybody's
lady.
Anybody's a hoe is me,
yeah.
Apparently.
Well, I mean, you know.
That's what you can see.
I'm not going to argue with you that, okay? You'll win that fucking argument. But, you know, you do get the Loose Dick of the Year award, okay?
Well, I got to be loose, though. It's definitely not loose.
Well, you get the tight one, although, you know what I'm saying? You get that.
Clearly not loose.
And your reviews are good, though. So, you know, all of them
Thanks for feeding my ego. I need that.
You know, I'm not talking about you, baby, because this shit's too much. You
know? You over here sweating. I'm chilling.
Because you're stressing me out. You know what I'm saying? I'm working. I'm like, God damn, Nick. You know?
I appreciate the love and care, though.
I do. When I be sitting there, but I argue for you to the bat. I'm like, well, fuck, bitch. At least your baby daddy probably ain't doing shit over here.
Oh, people have some strong opinions about me in my life. But I understand that, and I welcome it, because I know, multiple lifestyles right now where people are we're in a world where everybody has an opinion about how someone else is living their life. And if we could just step back and let people live their individual lives, I'm like, I'm gonna mind my business, you mind yours, and hopefully we could coexist.
Remember, okay, so wait, last time, right?
Yeah.
That I interviewed you also, you and Kanye had got into the whole scenario, and he was mad at you about Kim.
But we made up. I went out to, where did we go? Idaho, or where is it? Wherever he had his...
Wyoming.
Yeah, that's where
okay.
we went.
Okay, and so then you guys talk, right? And now he's in a situation, and him and Kim got a divorce. How do you feel about their divorce?
Man, I got my own problems. But I honestly was rooting for them, and for so many reasons, but just knowing that they balanced each other out in many ways, and I thought Kim was good for him. And then, if you look at, she would hold him down, and then he would be the loud voice for her, and you know.
He wanted to smoke with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Told him you're Nick Chimney.
I was like, I wanted it all. But they were a great balance, even when you look at their family infrastructure, great parents, and you know, two people had actually experienced losing parents, coming together and being there for each other. Like, I was always rooting for them. So it kind of, it's heartbreaking. But again, it's also a testament and another example to my lifestyle. Like, see, know the pain that comes with divorce. I know the mental illness that you have to sit in, the depression, and that anybody who experiences divorce, you got to go through that. We could pretend like we happy and throwing divorce parties and stuff, but that weighs on your
nobody
soul.
Nobody really is happy when they do a divorce
no
party.
No one is.
That's full of shit.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
let's be honest.
So having to go through that, especially in the public eye, I know it's difficult for, you know, all I can do is send prayers to those individuals.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I mean, well, now it's Pete, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kanye to Pete, that's some wild shit right there, you know?
I mean, Kim is, and that's another fine example of a queen and who runs her queendom the way she wants to do it. And I've always saluted it. Her business mind, the way she moves, her business acumen.
I mean, you had Kim before, so you and her.
I didn't have her. I know her.
No, you knocked her down. Bullshit. I listened to the interview. I don't know what. I'm not going to sit here for nobody.
I've grown. I've evolved.
No, you did. You've grown. You evolved, but you still knocked her down. Point blank, period. But shout out to her, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, but
she,
Nick,
like
you
I
had
said,
a,
I
went through the list in my mind. I went through the list or whatever.
About to do this again?
No, I just said I went through the list, and I'm like, Nick is the one. You know what I'm saying? So you at least
some people
have
called me
a
sex guy, Rock. That's what they've called me.
I believe it. I mean, you've had the best of the best.
Get the mixtape and see if the sex guy stuff is real. And I mean, when you see what Jessica directed, you guys will have your opinions.
Who's the closest one that out of everybody can make you settle down?
Oh. Currently?
Yeah.
I can never.
Don't say Chuck over there like, don't answer that. You know,
I'm gonna be honest. That's not how
he say one. He gonna get 30 calls later on. Like, that ain't that so bad.
Man, I don't see what would be the point of that.
the point of the same point that you have with Mariah. The goddamn same point. Love,
Mariah,
happiness.
Mariah, I was living out my fantasy. Like, that was my dream since I was 12 years old to even just meet this woman. And the fact that I was able to not only meet her, but become best friends, become lovers, become husband and wife, create children, like, I'm gone. I could tap out. When I'll be in the hospital, I was like, hey, it was a good run.
Yeah.
Like, I was good.
I mean, you're right. You know, like, when you think about
I lived the dream.
When I was sitting there with the divorce and stuff, when the papers came in and shit, and I'm looking, I'm like, God damn. And I'm looking, I'm like, oh my God, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't fucking believe it when you guys, you know what I'm saying, with first divorce. I'm like, okay, boom. And I'm trying to DM like Nick like 100 messages and shit. He ignored me like a motherfucker.
I turned all them phones off. I was like, man, they're gonna be on me after that. But I mean, it's funny because during the time, a lot of people was like, they didn't understand it. No one ever understands how I'm moving. My actions, like, how did he even get Mariah? And then once they saw it working for so long, they were like, people started rooting for us. And they was like, oh, I like this couple.
Did you?
And then when it went away, they were like, I don't understand it again.
No, so, everybody liked it. I mean,
yeah,
because,
I think we won everybody over.
You guys were like different lanes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then when she got you, and then when the babies
she was having
like,
fun, she was laughing all the time. I was taking her to Walmart and 7-Eleven, and we were doing records.
Like,
she
got a little young, yeah. You know, like, and then Mariah, and then you're like, oh, she done got, oh, Nick, oh, okay, boom.
Yeah,
bam, bam.
But even when you look from here, we both, you know, went our separate ways, but continued to bring joy and happiness to the world.
Holidays, she used to be always around, used to be doing the matching outfits and all that stuff.
That was fun. Haven't
seen that in a long time, huh?
I mean, you know, both of us, and even still, I love to dress up, like, all the time. Like, whether you see my crazy suits on my shows or Masked Singers, or even it's a holiday, I'm going to be the Easter Bunny. I'm going to be, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Claus. So I'm going to always do that type of stuff. And she's on that vibe, too. So that might not be over. If the kids want us to dress up or something, we'll still dress up together.
What's your favorite job?
Oh, I don't even like the word job.
What's my passion, what I
love to do the most? Probably writing. And when being able to create something from nothing. Like, so whether it's everything from a script to a novel to a joke to a song, like, just creating energy out of nothing is beautiful for me.
And for your success, where do you feel that you have the most success when you think about all your success you've had?
Behind the camera, producing, you know, putting things together, connecting the dots, show running, things like that. I mean, if I think about legacy that I've built specifically, I mean, Wildin' Out is probably something that, you know, I started literally from nothing, and for now to be selling out, you know, stadiums, and it's all just like I created that brand and I diversified it. I have multi platforms. We got restaurants. We got games. We got all, you know. So that probably is where I've created my most success.
You know, for Wildin' Out, you know, when they're trying you and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's why none of this is a problem. This is what I got some of the best roasters and comedians in the world that come at me.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Ain't nothing people say on the internet ever.
I mean, yeah, DC Young Fly, you know,
goes crazy. Crazy every time.
Do you ever take it personal?
I can't. And then that's where I go back to you got to think, like, my best friend is Kevin Hart. I grew up in comedy clubs with people like Chappelle and all it. Like, the things that people have said about me in all of my situations, I'm Teflon when it comes to that, because that's how you have to be as a comedian. You can't take anything personally. Like, and then when you do, you know what I mean? It never fares for the person who had thin skin.
Speaking of comedians, with the Chris Rock and Will Smith slap, what do you think, like, about that situation?
Oh, it broke my heart on so many different levels. Knowing both of those individuals pretty well, it's just that it was the wrong scenario. It was the wrong stage for that. But, you know, I respect both gentlemen. I know they both gonna figure it out. They both gonna bounce back. There's two big bags for the both of them to go get because of this. Because everybody's still talking about it to this day.
And people are trying to cancel Will. How do you feel about that?
He's uncancelable. That's another person. Like, how do you cancel Will? There's no way. First of all, he's done everything. He, like, if it's one night you're going to slap the shit out somebody.
Why not on the night you get an award? You know what I'm saying?
The whole world is watching. You getting honored with what you've been working your whole entire career
for. What you waited forever.
He's like, I've been chilling. For the last 30 years, like, you know, God damn it, this is the night.
He's reached the pinnacle.
What else is he coming out of Philly?
I'm coming out of the Philly bowl.
I'll show y'all what I've been suppressing for the last 30. I've been trying to be nice. I've been, hey, you're crazy, hilarious. I've been doing that for the longest. Now I'm about to slap the shit out of you with this gold Oscar in my
hand. And I'm coming through it. But the thing
is, I'll put that whole thing like Chris Rock said, you know, I'm not saying I would have did it, but I understand.
I understand you.
Everybody has a point.
But I think that you shouldn't, but I also don't think like shit happens and then everybody's reaching too much. This is a fucking slap. You know what I'm saying? Like it just,
if you want my real take on it?
Yeah.
Just as somebody who, like I said, I know both of those people. I think Will, being a regular cat, how we are, Will is actually the most down-to-earth cat that, you know, I've ever met. He's shown me so many different ways to operate in this game and still hold on to who you are and to yourself. And Chris, as we all know, super, super regular, say whatever comes to his mind and stuff. Mm-hmm. I feel like two dudes who knew each other for years and years, one dude comes out on stage and just like, if me and Chuck, me and my boy, and he come out and like, oh, I'm about to say some shit about y'all in front of everybody. Oh, you think you funny? I'm going to get up. And then you know what? Matter of fact,
bam.
Bam. And yeah. I've been in scenarios like that, but not in front of the world, not in front of millions, not in front of a big night. And then I think once that happened, then like to me, I was like, oh, it was all fun and jokes until he sat down and he started cussing him out. Still, I'm like, ooh, this is good.
Oh no, he was hot as fish grease, but I understand, but listen.
But I felt like it was two people who felt like they were familiar enough with each other.
Yeah, no, like, you know what?
I feel like I could say something about you. I feel like I slapped the shit out you.
But Chris, like, I think Will's like, look, this motherfucker tried me too many times. And I'm about to sit here and give him a can of whoop ass.
I believe that if he thought it through and thought that the world would react the way that they did, he would have never did it.
Well,
I think he was
not.
Like,
you think?
You bad enough to say this about me
you
and my wife.
You bad enough to get your ass whooped.
Yeah, exactly. You talk, like, how many times you done seen your uncle slap boxing in the backyard and then they eating barbecue afterwards?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, then the, I felt
but
like,
the mama, but everybody but was killing me as the mama, like, he slapped both of us. Like, you should know, only one got slapped, Mom. Like, you
when
know what I'm saying?
When he slapped Chris, he slapped every black man in the world.
Yeah, like, no. Every black man did not get slapped. Only Chris got slapped.
I'm waiting for my Chris Rock check.
Yeah. In that case, you know, because he sold out the next day's arena. So, Mom, you should be thanking Will because just now he got the dumb bag from it.
I mean.
And everybody's like, oh, he has so much class.
I mean, you know
Jesus
what that is?
Class.
To me, this was a glimpse into the black experience.
Right.
And a lot of people, like, I'm traumatized. Oh my God, I can never go to the hospital.
Me, I was just
again.
Like, oh, well.
I was like, we see this shit every day. Niggas be slapping people all the time.
I didn't even, when everybody's starting right, going to thing, I'm like, everybody's going crazy about it, right? Like, oh, I'm traumatized. I'm crying. I'm like,
look at all the people who said they was traumatized. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We were like, my uncle just slapped a nigga last night. Like,
you didn't see your mama get your ass whooped when you grown up?
They've never seen that. And that's what happened. They got a glimpse into the black experience on one of the whitest nights ever.
Yeah, white. Yeah. People are like, and the black people are like, Will, this wasn't the BET Awards. I'm like, well, why'd it have to be our shit?
Yeah, because then they would have been expected over there.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, but that was a glimpse into the black experience. And, you know, there's a lot of trauma there. There's a lot of pain there. But we worked through it every single day. And that was just a process of, you know, two brothers having to work through some stuff.
Right. Okay, Super Bowl happened, right? And then Dr. Dre and Eminem, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever made, and you ever guys came in contact yet?
Me and Eminem. I mean, we've been in the same buildings. I know. I don't think. I mean, that's such old news.
But that's
stuff.
What I'm saying. So when things are so old, then it
especially
should
like,
be a point.
You know, me and Fifth are cool. Me like,
but
I'm
that's
cool
what
with
I said.
Dre,
when,
like,
when things are so old, right? It should be a situation that it'd be like, just in case, it could be like.
I don't
it's
think
worked
it's gonna
out.
Be a problem. This is no offense because
you
I
work
don't
out
want,
every day.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not even. We ain't gonna go there. But I'm just saying. I don't think Eminem moves in circles where I would ever see him. I think he's a very secluded type of
No, but definitely does. Because you're in the circle, you're in the Calabasas circle. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't even know if he lives either in LA. I think he lives in Michigan.
I don't know where the guy lives.
Yeah. Rightly so. He's accomplished enough. He live in his little shady castle somewhere.
That's a good one.
But that's what he comes out when he wants to come out. So I don't think we would ever, but I mean, I'm a fan of Eminem. I've always been a fan.
Yeah, but that's why I be looking at all the things, right? And I'll be like, you know, it just like when certain situations happen, I always want people to just fix the situation and be like, damn,
this should just be that fixed. That's the thing. And even at the last run, that was really to just entice him and invite him to Wildin' Out. Because if you remember, he said something about me first. And I was like, oh, okay, well, shoot, let's put him on. And then I'm thinking like, ooh, this is how we're going to lure him in. And, you know, it just...
And for the record, though, Nick works out in the studio. He has equipment there. So if anybody does want smoke, the guy is Hulk a little bit, you know what I'm saying, under the sweatshirt. He's going to show you the gun that he said his hands are quick to make sure
my pictures still look good. That's
the maternity pictures.
Exactly. I got a lot of photo shoots I got to get ready for.
But you know what? Before, I want to see about a scenario, right? Before R. Kelly went to jail, I was on the phone with him and shit.
Yeah.
Then you got a lot of scrutiny because, you know, I was talking to R. Kelly and, you know, people don't go crazy at me because it was before all the other shit came out.
Right.
You know, like, I didn't know what the fuck was going on that he was really out here. You know, and neither did
Nick. He was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I was getting about, he's on the phone and stuff. And he's like, and I'm like, you know, people are like, well, who will come forward for him? Who will come forward for him, right? And I'm like, God damn. Yeah. I'm like, he's like, well, I was like, I seen, you know, I was like, yeah, I had talked to Nick or whatever. He's like, well, tell Nick I gave him his first hit.
You're not wrong. And I've always even said that too, because me personally, and you know, I don't think we have the right to ever throw an individual away. When you can just throw an entire spirit away, like, that's just saying none of us can be redeemed now. People have done, there's murderers, there's people that, and that's just because of someone who I do the work. I go into the prisons, you know, monthly and talk to lifers, people for murderers, killers, all of this stuff. And then when you work on incarceration is about rehabilitation. That's what it's supposed to be about. But we've gotten to a place in a system to where once someone does wrong, we want to burn them at the stake. And so if we feel like there's no sense of giving an individual the ability to grow in this lifetime, then what are we doing? And that, to me, is where I was trying to stand with R. Kelly. It's like, clearly the brother has a lot of pain, a lot of hurt. Like, is there any way that even in this system where he has to pay the cost for what he did, but can he gain some sense? Because clearly we all know he's talented. We all know that he has made some of the greatest.
He lost everything now. Like, it's all gone. It was just like, damn.
Now, but is there any way to once he, because he's probably going to be in prison for the rest of his life.
He's out of here.
So is there any way while spending that time in there that he can grow and learn from all of the horrible things that he did?
Possible.
And
within him, though.
That's
because every prisoner, when they go to jail, it's all with you. If you want to go to the programs, get the help and
but
go
even
get
like,
the
but
situation.
But that's when we think about what we built our system on. And again, I don't want to get too much into like what I got my degree in and start talking criminology and all that.
Oh, Howard, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know. But I mean, saying, but like when you think of a penitentiary, it's about repentance. That's those two words come from the same. You're supposed to be able to go in there and right your wrongs. That's the purpose of incarceration. Now, we have turned, you know, incarceration into modern day slavery. In that sense, it's like, okay, we just gonna throw these certain individuals in here and literally treat them like slaves. Because,
that's what the system is designed for.
But that's what I'm saying. And that's when we get to that space, it's like, are we doing this correctly as society to where even people, because people are going to continue to do bad things for the rest of existence. But is it just about throwing them inside of a cage in a box together and just saying, all right, we're going to forget about them, point fingers at them and say, look at those bad guys over there? Or is it really about repentance and growth and trying to help each other as a greater unit of being better individuals?
I mean, prison, honestly, though, let's just be honest, doesn't really help most individuals, period.
Right now, we're treating it as really a wastebasket.
It dehumanizes most folks.
Yeah, we're treating it as like, oh, this is a place we're going to go throw people away. So even when I got out there, like, rightly so, like, we have to speak the truth and the honesty. Like, initially, that man's art brought so much joy to so many people.
People are still debating about his now.
And his gift brought so much joy to so many people. He, as an individual, you know, made some horrible choices in life. And as we've learned, that's based off of people making horrible choices for him when he was a young man and there was trauma.
Well, yeah,
because
he
things.
Got molested, you
so
know.
All,
for
all of
saying.
That. I mean,
yeah.
You can't even just, I'm even
I'm
the process
from
of that.
What he told me personally, you know what I'm saying?
But we all have trauma.
Yeah,
we all have
said,
things that we deal
said,
with.
Out and, of his own mouth, though, he said, like, when I've asked him about scenarios of happening, and then he said, oh, this happened to me, you know, that it, like when he was explaining to me. And I'm like, oh, so I thought my process. I'm like, oh, so you repeated the cycle.
Yeah, and it's having those, like, we all have our own demons, and you know, some, and that's
what. What do you think your demon is, Nick?
I mean, I deal with my demons each and every day. When you think about that idea, and I don't like to make it like it's childhood, like I'm repressing childhood stuff, because I go to therapy constantly, so I'm constantly.
Black people really should go to therapy.
Oh, absolutely, but I've done all the unpacking and. My mother was amazing. My father was amazing. My grandmother, who helped raise me because my parents were teenagers, all that infrastructure being unorthodox, but it was still such a healthy environment. But I think some of the choices that I've made based off of my ego, based off of entertainment, based off of trying to be in the hustle, those are demons as well.
Like, entertainment, your choices.
My ego is probably my greatest demon.
You know what, for your entertainment wise, though, you know, what people don't realize with you is a lot. That you made sure you always stand on who you are.
I never try to fake being anything. Like I said, even something we probably done said some stuff here that's gonna get me in trouble, or things that I probably said here that's actually.
Well, which one will get you in trouble?
I don't know. Gonna find the headline in this motherfucker somewhere. Yeah. And I said some shit.
I said, wait, which ones
probably
are gonna get you?
From Mariah or R. Kelly. I said some shit.
Wait, which ones are gonna be in the fucking get in trouble?
Y'all know which ones gonna get me in trouble. But I say all of that.
But if they do get you in trouble, listen, stand on what you stand on. Period. And guess what? You can't ever get in trouble because you are who you are, and fuck everybody who's gonna be fake. So it doesn't really matter. And you can't ever walk around not wanting to say which is your truth.
And that's what I've always stood on.
Entertainment men, will be so fake and shit, and will be coming up here like and want to be just like, oh, politically correct.
You can't teach your authentic self. Yeah, you can't teach solid.
This is why I have problems with my show, okay? Because I have solid people like Nick who are be authentic and real. They don't have Looney Tune fake ass motherfuckers come up here.
They're not comfortable in their own skin, especially when you're playing a role. A lot of these entertainers. They're playing a role. That's not who they really are. Like, I just came straight from the airport, tired and shit, pulled up. Because this is who I am. You my people.
And he was up at like, I'm hitting them up like at East Coast time, like at fucking 3 a.m.
Walking on the plane like, yo, I'm about to pull up. We gonna sit down. We gonna chop it up.
And he's always a man of his word, because every time I've asked him, he pulls up and he's just real as fuck. But honestly, I promise you, Nick, like, you don't get enough credit for who you are. I'm telling you how big of a star that you are, though, right? And how, like, you are
I think that's
so
why
real.
It moves that way, because I'm too real.
Yeah.
I'm not industry
but
friendly.
But that's why you get also your blessings, and that's why you get so much more blessings than most.
Because I'm about the community. Like,
and that's why your revenue has been staying cracking every single year.
Come on, somebody, preach.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Let them know. No, for real. And I'm not doing this shit because I would never be fake. I'll be the same person. Whatever I say to you, I'm going to tell your ass right here. And 100. If you leave out this motherfucking door, I'm going to tell your ass the same shit too.
We need so many more people like you in this space.
People,
it's real.
People will be faking like, oh, you know, Nick. No, Nick, I'm going to tell Nick ass what's going on.
And that's and every decision that we make ain't gonna be the greatest decision, ain't gonna be the best. And where I need to be corrected, you be like, nah, that wasn't it, my guy.
Then
when it's like, oh no, I'm gonna stand by you, or even that wasn't it, but I'm gonna still stand by you because you my friend. You someone that I consider that we can rock with together. And in these spaces, we have to protect each other.
No, for reals. But that's what but for you though, like we need to protect a Nick for real, because there's not that many people out here like that.
Real,
there's
authentic, raw cats.
Yeah, there's not. And we can, I've literally know 90% of Hollywood, and you motherfuckers, like, I can tell you 25% are probably only the real ones. Yeah. And those are the ones that you'll see on my show. The other ones are kooks.
Because we're in the land of make-believe. You got to think about it. Like, that's what Hollywood is. It's where it's glitz and glamour. It's the lights and the cameras. That's not real life. And we still operate. We have real people in our lives. We live in real scenarios. Seriously. I know how to put it on. I could put on a little suit and smile and do that. But that's me working, that's me being in that space, but I'm me 100% of the time of the day. But if I got, you know, if I got to put on the little work voice for a moment, I could do that. But other than that, this is who I authentically am.
And what do you have next going on? What's your next moves?
I mean, they always going to be talking about, but we going heavy with this music right now, but it's still, you know, Masked Singer, Wildin' Out. We got a couple movies that we doing this year.
Actually, you know what? Back to you made me actually go away from the thing, because we didn't answer the final question. So are you getting your dick clipped or not? Oh, don't sit there and say consultation. We just need to know. Is it more cannons coming or cooling?
You my people, should I? I'm trying to get everybody's opinion.
I don't know because... Like, I don't know because it's not my dick.
Yeah, but that, again, because...
Like, you have to decide, because regardless of what anybody says, nobody can ever tell you about how many kids you can have.
In the consultation, they said it's reversible. That's what they did tell me. So if I ever wanted, for whatever reason, I could...
Is it?
The one I saw... Huh? They can unsnip you.
Oh, because, well, you know what? If you get your tube side, you get the bitches untied. So I guess it works the same way for your weenie.
That's what I'm saying. I guess. And then, because I'm telling you, companies are coming to me. They got a pill they've been talking to me about. I'm like,
what's
I already got to take a bunch of pills already.
Which one's a pill?
Like the pill for the man, a man pill, birth control.
But, you take it every day.
I think there's like a once a week pill.
Oh shit, I need that bitch, you know what I'm saying?
But that's like, I'm not endorsing nothing until the bag is right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll do all the test trials or whatever you want to do.
Yeah,
but I'm going to be honest, I know there's, and this, it goes a little bit deeper than just, I'm going to go do this, because, I mean, I got to talk to my doctors, my therapists, all of that stuff. And I'm like,
the therapist,
they do. Because one of my therapists is like, they told me I needed to be celibate. That didn't work out. And then they said.
Well, wait a minute.
I tried, though.
Well,
and clearly,
how long did you last for celibacy?
See, this is what you don't do with celibacy. You ever like try to save something, keep saving it, and keep saying, and it start over, and you shake it up and it just busts. That's what happened during my celibacy.
Okay,
I was holding on, like I gotta come on. I'm gonna just make
and then, 20 baby, one baby here, one baby there, two
so
baby
that
there,
is
three baby
definitely
there.
Not the way to go. And one therapist actually told me that. He's like, you're gonna withhold all of this, and then when you let loose, it's gonna be out there.
I mean,
they were right.
Well, I mean, but, God, but I
so
mean,
that's not
well,
the way
what?
To go.
Maybe it's not about clipping your thing. It's more so about, like I said, back to the finding one person that you can
and
relate
just
with.
Impregnating that
no,
one
no, no,
person?
No, 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 no. You already have enough kids. Yeah, you know, honey, baby, you got 9, 10, 11, 12 big for. Like, pick whatever you want to pick.
You're right, because one of my therapists told me that they don't believe I'm addicted to sex. That's not my issue. It's like they believe I'm addicted to love and being in love, and I'm in love with being in
but
love,
you,
and I'm in love with trying to please too many
okay,
people.
Okay, but your love is, as soon as you're hitting it, then you fall in love for that minute, then you're in love with the next one, then you wake up the next morning.
I try to please too many people.
Yeah, that's
and
I
that's
believe
what
that
I'm
love.
Working through, and even, so that's why we get back to this vasectomy conversation, because I'm not thinking making the decision for me, I'm thinking of making the decision for multiple people, and that's where it's like, I need to focus on me what's best for
you're
me.
You're not going to focus on
you. And I haven't figured that out yet. I don't know if the vasectomy is best for me.
Well,
it seems like it. That's what people on the internet say.
Well, Nick.
Is that the best decision for a man to go in there and snip off your situation?
I mean, yeah. If you have
if you're a man? You see, I've seen neutered dogs,
listen,
and they be rubbing their ass all on the carpet.
I don't know, like, the consequences of a snip dick.
Me
like, I'm
either.
Not sure. Like,
so that's what I'm saying. So
it depends. Like, does it work still? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Does it go dead after a while?
It sounds like a good idea, but I need all the answers that you need. Because I don't want to be like them little whimpering dogs. They barks don't be as loud when they get their nuts cut off.
But listen, I can tell you personally, for me, having four pieces, you know what I'm saying? I got the four kids.
She got the four piece.
Yeah.
We talking.
Yeah,
we know.
We got the four kids. I'm up there with you.
We real parental.
Okay? You know what I'm saying? I was sitting there, you know, after my last two, that's 15 months apart. I said, okay, Raquel, you know what? You only pregnant 9 months of the year. You know what I'm saying? You already kicked it back a couple months.
Exactly.
So then I'm like, okay, for me, I just went and got that thing in my arm real quick. You know that?
See, they got a lot more stuff for women, which is unfortunate.
When you know you are to your limit.
It should be equal. Yeah.
You know, you to your limit with babies, Nick.
Right.
And you have to sit there and you realize, like, there's a lot. Lord have mercy, it's a lot, right?
Indeed.
And I'm talking about four for me.
Yeah.
And I'd be looking at my arm and shit. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to keep, like, the birth control makes you gain weight and shit. I'd be like, well, goddamn, you get more fat, Raquel, but fuck it, you ain't having babies. So, I mean, you have to outweigh what works for you.
See, but that's, I'm trying to do that because I don't know what's best for me.
But them checks, though, for you, though, Nick.
I mean, the checks going to keep coming, though.
I know, but so the babies.
But again,
exactly.
So, but I'm fruitful and multiplying, and I'm making money so I can provide
for my wait, hold on, this is fair. Question, right?
Yes.
So if one baby mama has less than another baby mama, right? Like Mariah, ooh, right?
Well, I mean,
no, I just said like,
own.
No, I'm just saying like Mariah, right?
Yeah.
Then you have another baby mama who may just have nothing at all. So does the payments have to go differently?
I'm not on child support.
No.
Like I don't personally believe now if somebody wanted to bring the government into our situation, I'm not against it. If that's how you rather the government have to tell me how much, I'm always going to give more than the government would want me to get.
Oh, real nigga? Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah.
Like,
I'll
give you a perfect example for everybody knows Mariah got more money than money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Her face should be on money.
Yeah.
That's how much money she got. But in that sense, that doesn't mean I have to stop doing my job as a parent. And we don't have an infrastructure where, like, you need to pay this. Anytime my kids.
No, I know, but that's.
And there's accounts set up. There's when you get to a space, you set up trust for your family. And everything that I make goes into the trust of the children.
Hey, your lawyer, like, yep, add another one. Yep.
Like,
oh,
I mean,
well.
So we just, and it's like, we just going to keep.
But I said, like, but there you go. No, but that's a perfect example, though. When you have Mariah, though, right? Her kids is, you know what I'm saying? Like, what you lead to them could be a different, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just saying, for those other kids may not have,
but there's also, there's lifestyles that you have to keep up and stuff. So, like, because right now we're strictly talking financial. And, you know, you only can have such a big house. You can only have so many cars. You can only, at some point, it all evens out. So in that space, I'm praying and hoping that I continue to be able to be the level of provider that anything any of my children want, I can provide. And that's not just financially. That's if you want what experience, what space you want to go into in your life. If you want to be an athlete, I'm going to fully support that. If you want to be an artist, I'm going to fully. But it has to start now.
Yeah, but no, wait. When they're grown, though, Daddy Nick, they'd be like, okay, boom. They're 18, 19 years old, right? Do they always just still get all the money? Or is
I
it
hope
a point
so.
That you
hopefully, at that point, I'm going to be honest. The way I'm trying
setting
to
up your tribe.
I want them to be is so educated. I want them to be able to have tapped into anything that by the time they're 18, they have their own businesses. They know what they want to do because that's how I was as a kid. At 10, 11 years old, I knew what I wanted to do. Like, my son, Rock, is an amazing gamer. I'm like, I want to invest. I know these kids out here making millions in gaming. I'm buying all the screens. I'm hooking them up with the gaming people. So if this is what he wants to do, even if it's only for the next 2 or 3 years, he's going to be the best 11-year-old gamer he can possibly be. And then he's like, all right, Dad, I want to DJ now. I want to support because I know.
And you DJ too.
I want to support. Like, that's the beauty of it. Whatever my children want to do, I want to be that conduit to help them get to that space. And if it takes money, if it takes attention, those are the things I want to do. So I'm at every little league game, basketball.
That's
everything.
Why I mean. That's
so that's what we're trying to do.
Get the vasectomy. I changed my mind. Get the vasectomy. Them kids gonna keep on coming. You got too much of that game here right there. You know, so them babies gonna keep on cracking off. So you know what? I'll tell you right now.
Said I gotta go get it.
Yeah, go get it. Cause
it takes any of my. If it takes my husband away, I don't know if I can.
It's okay. You already had.
I might come in here clip the next time. Hi, Raquel.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? Hey, it's fine. It happens. At least you already had the baddest. Actually, is there anybody that you haven't ever got that you wanted?
Oh, man. I stopped thinking like that a long time ago. Oh, right, because I used to be a star fucker. That was my thing. Like, I wanted to, I literally was like, as a kid, I was like, yo, I want as many celebrity, like, and that was such a horrible way to think.
But you had a lot of them.
But see, I don't think like that no more. I'm honestly on some, like, spiritual bandwidth, like, what can I take and handle and not put out any toxic energy towards? That's the person I'm looking for. That's the person I want to be around. Yeah,
Nick, anybody you hit, you're going to bring some type of toxic to you. Honey, I'm telling you. That's what I'm working on.
Right, this has been a great therapy session, Rock. Thank you.
You are definitely going to bring some toxic to him. I'm telling you right now. Because so, if you have the good meat, you pass it up the good meat with the good money, but you have about 10 baby mamas. 10 baby mamas, that's a lot of toxic
shit.
Yo,
that's the new shirt. Good meat and good money. Yeah.
Hey, and you know what? You better send me a percentage. Chuck, y'all use my shit, I want a percentage of this shit.
Good me and good money. Good night.
But no, I'll let you go because I know you have a hard out. Chuck's been giving me the eye and shit. I've been like, no, give it a fuck. But
I gotta go shower. I just got off the plane.
But yeah, no, for reals, I appreciate you. You're a legend. It's always grateful that you came in, Nick.
No doubt, I really rock with
you the long way.
Likewise.
Nick Cannon, make sure you get your Raw MB.
Yeah.
Okay.
We going viral all day.
All day.
Get the mixtape and the short film, and then
go on his buy tickets for the city near you.
Yeah.
We're
selling
out.
Wildin' Out
Incredible.
Tour.
Okay.
Yeah, we out here. Let's go.